again for coming the other day to the Berit Milah. We appreciated it so much. It was such a beautiful, amazing event. Rav Willie came over to me yesterday and actually told me it was amazing. And I'm like, what's so amazing? He said, the entire thing was amazing. I'm like, okay. So thank you everybody for being a part of it and making it so amazing. We really appreciate it. Ribbono Shel Olam should make all of your life cycle events just as, if not more, amazing. Be'ezrat Hashem. So thank you for joining with us as we named our son at our Berit Milah, Moshe Tzvi, after my father and my Rebbe. We named our son Moshe Tzvi after my father and my Rebbe. My father Moshe and my Rebbe Harav Shechter, Harav Herschel Tzvi Shechter. So I raised a few eyebrows and I just wanted to discuss some of the points about naming after the living. This is presumably generally known as a Sephardi practice, not an Ashkenazi one, and how even according to Ashkenazim, I believe it would be okay to do what I did. Now, let's go through this. First of all, although the common Ashkenazi practice is not to name after the living, there is actually much precedence for it in Tanakh, in Chazal, and in history. There is a number of proofs you can get just through flipping through Tanakh of different people who named their children after their parents while their parents are still alive. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just one of them off the top of the head is Kalev. Not Kalev ben Yefune, but Kalev ben Chur. Chur ben Kalev ben Yefune, according to the Pasuk in Devarei Yamim, had a son named Kalev, and we know that Chur died before his father Kalev. So clearly he named his son after his father in his father's lifetime. In addition, Ma'amari Chazal, there are plenty. There are stories about Tanaim doing miracles or giving people great advice, and then their children, the people who received the advice or were benefited from the miracle, naming their children after those Tanaim. In fact, there's actually a Midrash that says that when Aaron HaKohen died, there were numerous people with the name Aharon who cried for him and carried his coffin. So we find much of this throughout Ma'amari Chazal, where there were people named after other people, even not even relatives. Certainly, we forgot my relatives as well. With the whole shalshalet of the Beit HaNasi, with Hillel HaZaken, and his son Gamliel, and his son Rabban Shimon Gamliel, and his son Rabban Gamliel II, and his son Rabban Shimon Gamliel, etc. Where we know through different ma'amarim that there were times when grandfather and grandson were alive at the same time. Not only that, but in history, some of the greatest people in our history were named after their grandfathers or were in similar situations. The Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, had a cousin. His name was Yonah, or we know him as Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was the first Sephardi who learned in Ashkenazi yeshivot, and he returned to become a Sephardi Rosh Yeshiva in Spain. And he had a daughter who married the son of the Ramban. So cousins let their children marry. Second cousins got married. The son of the Ramban and the daughter of Rabbeinu Yonah got married. So when the daughter was expecting their first child, Rabbeinu Yonah unfortunately passed away. And the way it's reported by the Rashbesh, who was the son of the Tashbetz, Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Shimon Zuran, the son of the Tashbetz, in his Eshut HaRashbesh, he tells us that the Rabbeinu Yonah passed away, and then his daughter gave birth to a boy. The Ramban, her father-in-law, approached her husband, his son, and told his son, "Don't name your son Moshe after me. Name him Yonah after your late father-in-law." We see from this story two things. Number one, the minhag was to name after living people. If not for Rabbeinu Yonah dying, they would have named after the Ramban, who is still alive. And two, that it was assumed that the Ramban would be the one named after, because he is the father's father. That, in fact, is the common Sephardi practice ad hayom, that we name first for the father's side of the family and then for the mother's side of the family. So the first son is the father, goes after the father's father, and the first daughter after the father's mother, and then the mother's side. And the reason why the Ramban said to do that is because v'zarach ha-shemesh u'va ha-shemesh, that when one sun sets, we try to have the sun rise yet again. Rashbash writes how indeed this Yonah, ben grandson of the Ramban, was a great Talmid Chacham. He had a grandson named Yonah, who had a daughter who was the mother of the Rashbash. Meaning the great 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 granddaughter of the Ramban married the Tashbetz, and their son is the writer of this story, author of this story, is transmitting it to us, the Minhag. However, even though there is so much weight, so many sources that support the Sephardic custom, there is one major source in the Ashkenazi world that supports their custom. It's the Sefer Chassidim, Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid, right? In Sefer Chassidim, in Siman Taf Samech, that is not so favorable to name after oneself. One doesn't name his child after himself. We don't have John the First, Second, and the Third, father naming a child after himself. And we also don't name after the living, says the Sefer Chassidim. There is a little bit of debate in the language of Sefer Chassidim, what exactly he means, but more or less it's assumed for now that he means that you should not be naming after your living relatives, only after the deceased. There are two interpretations of the reasoning for this statement of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Number one, it's a matter of danger. Naming your child after your living relative will essentially be cutting the life of the living relative short and tearing away his soul. Alternatively, it's a matter of kibud avaim. If you have little kids running around your house and they're named after your parents, when your parents are there, you're with your parents, you're going to be calling your children by name. And calling them by name is going to be a violation of kibud avaim, because it's the name of your parents and you're not allowed to use your parents' name in front of them, according to some details in Hilchot Kibud Avaim. These two approaches are dealt with and supported each by different acharonim. The common thread that we could draw is that to a different point of the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, a different halakha in his tzava'ah, in his will, Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid tells us a number of interesting halachot that that poskim struggle to understand for generations. One of them is that a person should not marry someone who has the same name as his parent. A man should not marry a woman with the same name as his mother, and a woman should not marry a man with the same name as her father. There's much discussion about whether we follow this or not, but the interpretations of this point of Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid would be the same. One would be cutting short the life of his parent by introducing someone new who has the same name into the family and into the family unit, or it would be a violation of kibud avaim to call one's spouse by name in front of one's parent if it's the same name. It's a problem. These two approaches of sakana, of danger, and of kibud avaim are dealt with as follows. Number one, in terms of the danger, the Rabbeinu Yehuda Asad, Yehuda Ya'aleh, explains how really the Sefer Chassidim himself says that when it comes to matters of danger, if one is not makpid, if one is not concerned, then it won't be bothering him. If it doesn't bother you, if you don't let it bother you, it won't bother you. So that itself would be a very easy way to get out of this. But Rabbeinu Yehuda Asad says that by default, everyone is considered makpid. So he accepts that it's a matter of sakana. There is a way out of it, but most people by default will not let you out of it. On the other hand, the Chalka Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Breish, has a beautiful teshuvah where he argues that the driving force is more a matter of minhag and more a matter of kibud avaim, and how he draws on a steichanin basically that says that we don't follow the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, because the kibud avaim reasoning, which is probably what it represents, is a little bit too weak for us, a little bit too subjective. We don't call our spouses by their first names. We call them by terms of endearment in the Sephardic lands. And the same thing can be said for our children. And it goes hand in hand. If you don't observe one of these concepts from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, then you don't observe the other one either, he says. And anyway, there are a lot of proofs in Shas that totally contradict all of these statements of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, as we said already earlier, and it doesn't really, it's very difficult to swallow how you could say such a thing. So they argue, some say that the times of Chazal was different, they were on a different spiritual plane, but that's not so convincing. Essentially, even if you do call by names, the parents are mochel, the parents are forgiving, they don't take it as a violation of their honor if one calls one's grandchildren who are named after the parents. Sometimes parents actually appreciate and want it. So even if So even though the Sefer Chasim's thing could be based in Kibud Avaim, it would not be accepted the halacha, especially not for the Sfaradim. In fact, not only for Sfaradim, but even for Ashkenazim, one would not necessarily be so quick to accept this Sefer Chasidim's point in every situation. There are actually some benefits to naming after someone who's still alive. One of the earlier Munkacher Rebbe's, the Minchat Elazar, finds that not only is naming a child after a living relative or tzaddik not a means of tearing the soul away from the person who currently owns the name, bears the name, but naming after another person, especially a tzaddik, has a tremendous benefit. A number of tremendous benefits. For one, it's a zechut and a zecher. It invokes the memory and is a merit for the tzaddik who's being named after, the person being named after. And the name itself will have an effect on the recipient. Moreover, knowing that a child knowing that he's named after somebody great, his grandfather who excelled in certain ways, or this he's named after a great tzaddik, a great Talmid Chacham, a great leader of Klal Yisrael, who did whatever he did, is itself inspirational to a child to succeed. He tells a story about the niece of the Noam Elimelech, Rabbeinu Elimelech Milizhensk, whose niece was expecting, she was married and expecting, and her uncle, the Noam Elimelech, told her to name her coming son after him. She named him Elimelech. So the niece goes back to wherever she lives and returns a few years later with her son. And the Noam Elimelech was upset to discover that she had named him Tzvi Elimelech, not just Elimelech. And the niece, said how, we try not to name after, the same person. We try to change it up a little bit, just like Rabbi Noda Chassid. We add a little bit to the name, we change a little bit. And he said, no! I wanted you to name him after me. You should have just done Elimelech. You shouldn't have added anything. Once you add, you detract. It's a merit for the baby. And by the way, that Tzvi Elimelech, the great nephew of the Noam Elimelech, went off to become a great gadol also. He became the Bnei Yisaschar. But the point was that the Noam Elimelech didn't want, felt that his name wouldn't be as potent of an inspiration if it wasn't if it wasn't kept untampered with. A similar story of naming after a tzaddik is related by Rabbi Dr. Lem in an article that he wrote, where he relates how one of the members of the REITs board, the YU Board of Trustees, says how he was named because his father went to Rav Yaakov Yosef, or RJJ, back in the day when Rav Yaakov Yosef was ill and on his deathbed, and said he wants to name his child after a tzaddik. Which tzaddik should he name after? So RJJ, Rav Yaakov Yosef, told him, name after me. But he wasn't so well, but they were able to ascertain, that's what he was saying. There is an inyan to name after a living tzaddik. It has such an impact on the child, there's nothing to lose. To use even his whole name without any modification. To bolster this point, Rav Moshe advises that if one doesn't have any other chiyuvim, any obligations to name after specific people, when he has a child, one should actually just pick the name of a Navi. And that, or a recognized tzaddik or gaon, even if he's still alive. So now you wonder, why did I name my son after Rav Shechter? There's so much to gain. So much inspiration, so much zechut, so much of a zecher for Rav Shechter. For my son to be named after him, why not? Even Rav Moshe says it's okay. Even for the Ashkenazim, there's so much to rely on. In fact, in Rav Shechter's own eyes, this Ashkenazi minhag is not seen as a minhag not to name after the living, rather to name after the deceased. Rather, it's just not a minhag to name after the living. Meaning, Sfaradim have a minhag to name after the living, and Ashkenazim have no minhag either way. So in Rav Shechter's eyes, there's nothing wrong. There's no isur in naming after the living. He just says, if it makes people uncomfortable, Rav Shechter says, you shouldn't do it. And he brings the story of the Noam Elimelech, and the Bnei Yisaschar is proof. Ultimately, even the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a teshuvah where he says that it all depends on your minhag. Whatever your community minhag is, you should follow it. If you're Ashkenazi and you don't do this, don't do it. If you're Sephardi and you do do it, then go ahead. Now, just to clarify, for Sephardi, the halachot are as follows. First of all, in general, the minhag is to name after the living parents, father first, father's father, father's side first, mother's side second. That's the general minhag, unless there are other factors to take into account, such as one side is, let's say the mother's side has a tremendous Tami Chacham for a father. Maybe you would want to honor him first. Or maybe the mother's side, the father passed away first, like Rabbi Yonah. So then the father's father should be Mochel, so they can name after him first. If one is naming after both parents, let's say there is a matter of Machloket, they want to name after both parents, both fathers, both mothers, that's great. Just make sure you do the father's fathers first, says the Ben Ish Chai, because otherwise that itself could be a problem and a violation of the father's kavod. It seems, however, that even by Sfaradim, this minhag, to name after living, is not ubiquitous. In Morocco, they would definitely not name after the living. Apparently in Iraq, they wouldn't either. And I heard that in Iran, there also some families were makpid. Whereas in Algeria and Tunis, and Syria, they were okay with it. Apparently Ravadia's father told him that even though we're Iraqi, I want you to name your first son after me. That's why Rabbi Yaakov Yosef is Ravadia's oldest son. In a mixed marriage, where the mother is Sephardia and the father is Ashkenazi, it's still permitted to name after the mother's parents while they're still alive. And one does not have to be concerned for that. That Rav Avadia and Rav Shlomo Zalman both point out, and Rav Zilberstein notes how, let's say, unfortunately, Bar Minan, it's a broken marriage, then naming after either side is going to cause a lot of discomfort, aggravation, and Chas V'Shalom, anger. So it's better in such a situation to abstain from naming after either side altogether and pick a totally separate name. So for us, Rav Schechter notes, Rav Schechter was once at one of Ravadia's grandchildren's brit, and in Ravadia's house, for some reason Rav Schechter was there, and he says he remembers so nicely how the Ravadia was the sandak, Ravadia said the berachot, and Ravadia said the name. And when he got to Yikarei Shemo Yisrael, the father of the baby tried telling Rav Avadia the name, and Rav Avadia pushed him away and said, "Ovadia." So for my son's brit, Baruch Hashem, we made sure that Rav Shechter was the sandak, and we named him Tzvi after Rav Shechter, so that there wouldn't be any machloki between us and Rav Shechter. Okay, that was a joke. Fine. But l'maaseh, Baruch Hashem, we were zoche, Baruch Hashem, to apply many of these halachot that we just discussed for our two sons' brit milas, Baruch Hashem. First, my grandfather on my side, my mother's father, was not doing so well for a couple years when our first son was born. So instead of naming it my first son after my father, we actually asked my father's forgiveness and named him after my grandfather. So we named him Daniel after my grandfather, and we lopped on Ovadia as well. It's actually funny, when I was dating my wife, before we were even engaged, she emailed me saying that, "Dear Mordechai, our first child is going to be a boy, and we're going to name him Daniel Ovadia. Daniel for your grandfather, and Ovadia for Rav Ovadia." So my wife paskind, that's our first baby. And that's what he was, Baruch Hashem. And for our second baby, now it's time to follow the minog, just like in the Rabbeinu Yonah story. Now we're going to name after my father. So we named him Baruch Hashem after my father, but we also took the opportunity to name our son after my Rebbe. And it's just somewhat humorous. In addition to my father and my Rebbe, we had in mind my wife's grandfather, Yaakov Tzvi Palmer, my father-in-law's father, who passed away 19 years before, and our baby was born just a week after his yahrzeit. It's funny, because 18 and a half years or so ago, my father-in-law had a boy, named him Yaakov Tzvi Palmer, Kobe Palmer. He learns Baruch Hashem in yeshiva with us too. He's in 12th grade in MTA. And my father-in-law told me at the brit the other day that at Kovi's brit, 18 or so years ago, My father-in-law got up and said, we're going to name him Yaakov Tzvi. We're naming him Yaakov Tzvi after my father, Yaakov Tzvi. And we're naming it Tzvi after Tzvi. In other words, after Rav Schechter. So I thought I was the one who forgot to name a child after Rav Schechter first. But it seems like my father-in-law beat me to it, and I'm Baruch Hashem, at least I'm number two. So, all in all, the topic of names should always be one that generates happiness amongst Klal Yisrael. It elevates us and serves as a connection from our souls to the souls of the people we're named after. And it should never, chas v'shalom, cause any strife for machloket. It should always be a topic of good tidings for all of us. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be able to draw on the shefa that comes out of our names in fulfilling our avodat Hashem in this world. It should always be something that brings us closer to Ribono Shel Olam through the discussion of the names, through Torah, and through the actual benefits of having the names as a hashpa on ourselves. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was very good. Okay.